Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
Poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You're joining poets from around the world, over thousands of miles of land and sea. Welcome home, World Poetry Open Mic, the December 9th, 2016 edition from a small studio in Lakewood, Colorado, just south of Denver, just a smidge. How close are we to Denver, JT?
Well, my water's from Denver.
So that's a phrase I never thought I'd hear. If you, gentlemen, you will understand this, and ladies, if you shave your legs, which hopefully some of you do, the hair left over after you shave, that's how close we are to Denver.
Yeah.
But we're here. It's we've had a cold week.
Yes,
but
we
it's now come out of it, which is really nice. And I have to tell you, at a school where kids were not going outside for recess, things were crazy. I went on a mass run to buy air fresheners, and finally we got them out today, and it was very pleasant. So I'm Michael, the co-host of the show, and also my compatriot, my brother in arms here. I'm here with JT. How are you, sir?
I'm well. It was cold this week, and
it was, but you got to go to do a cool. And was that on? So, yeah. For those who don't know. Well, let's back up. Yeah. JT being the football, I wouldn't say Broncos fanatic, although you're a football fanatic.
Yeah.
And so you and your wife this year, for the first time,
yeah,
got season tickets to the Denver Broncos, which
yes.
comes with some perks.
Yes, it does.
And one of those perks being a huge Denver Broncos holiday party,
yeah.
which, if I'm not mistaken, was on the field
so
during the coldest night we've had this year.
So they were nice. They did a lot of their activities on the inside, but it was down at field level on the inside. So it was in the tunnels.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Okay.
But they had a holiday picture
nice.
Out on the field set up.
How was that?
Actually, surprisingly decent because they had the field heaters on.
Okay.
So the heaters on the sidelines and the heat, the field itself is actually heated
when
necessary, and they were turning them on just enough so that people could walk and be okay, and then they'll turn them off at night.
But you weren't going to like hang out there.
No, yeah. No, yeah. Nobody was hanging out
except
for the
up.
Photographer, and I'm like, holy crap.
But, he was living and dying
for
his craft.
you know, and it was neat because when we walked up, he stopped and goes, I got to warm up my fingers. I'm not feeling them quite right. And I'm like, take your time. I'm warm. I've got the heater blast, and he warmed up his fingers. And
you know, I think that's really it's kind of cool you were able to do that. I know. It made me happy knowing that you and your wife got to go.
Learned some interesting things about caribou or reindeer.
Really?
Yeah.
Of course, that's what you would do.
They had a couple there. They had a couple of reindeer
you
there.
You'd be like, what are all the specs and scientific facts about these animals?
So I
like
I
a true engineer is really what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I found out, I was like, wow, that's really cool. Well, so a lot about their antlers.
I can I can see a YouTube special. JT answers all your questions about the caribou. For World Poetry Open Mic.
Pretty impressive. Yeah.
Well, okay. So first of all, you know, we're just kind of talking here a little bit and checking in, and we usually do that. We like to check in with everybody else who calls into the show as well. If this is your first time calling, we're happy to have you. If you're a returning caller, you know, we love you, and you know we do, and this is definitely a family affair.
Yes.
So, you know, first thing before we get into anything, I want to throw out a shameless plug here.
Okay.
So if you enjoy the show, if you like the show, if you like the work you're hearing, if you want to own a book with maybe an anthology, we could say, of poets and help support the show at the same time, you can find it on our site. You can also go directly to Amazon.com and type in World Poetry Open Mic, and you'll have two anthologies pop up. It's a 2016 anthology. That you want to pick up. That's a new book, but we have two, and so they're both really cool. So we appreciate any help we can get. But also, it's awesome to be able to have the work of these poets propagated and made real and put out into the world. Think about it, years from now, someone who doesn't know who Dennis is or who Philip is. Hopefully they don't become so infamous that everybody knows. Although Philip, I have my doubts.
Yeah, Philip might become very infamous.
He could be like El Guapo infamous. But think about, you know, years from now, someone will pull out the book and be able to open it and read a poem by Diane.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, and to me, that's really cool because that's not them stumbling on it online. That's them finding it in a physical form in a book on a shelf somewhere.
Yeah.
And to me, that's really exciting. So at any rate, let's get beyond that. Tonight, we're here to share. We're here to check in, to kind of try new things out. And so I think the first thing we want to do is we're going to go into our first segment. Before we do that, two rules. One, no hate speech.
Yep.
Homie, don't play that. And then two, let's not do word porn. Okay. So we try to skew it towards family friendly. However, you know, if it's an artistic decision and it makes sense, is as Philip would say, if it's like a Renaissance nude, we're all good with that. If it's, you know, whatever they call it in Vegas, maybe not.
Gratuitous?
Gratuitous the strip show. I think I just figured out our new venture.
Wow.
Gratuitous the strip show. Faces for radio, bear it all. And we do mean bear. All right. So let's head into the first segment. We need five unique callers. It's 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call. Hey, Christine.
Yes, Michael.
Have you ever seen Sweeney Todd?
No, most people who go see him never come back.
I know. I guess I'm just hungry. Wow, I forgot about that one. You know, it's one of those things where we come in and we're like, hey, we'll just make up a bunch of liners.
Yeah.
And then I hear about, well, we've joked about cannibalism on the show before.
We have.
There's
we
been
have.
Some pretty heavy on the cannibal jokes.
Yeah.
And I would almost venture to say that we've had more cannibal jokes on our show than Glenn Beck has ever had on his show.
Probably.
Or we just like to talk about that kind of thing.
Could be that, too.
And everything else is thinly veiled.
Hmm.
Speaking of cannibalism, I was, no, seriously, I started looking into, I've started this practice of reading myths. So I was doing fiction and then kind of moving into mythology and things. And old stories, old folk tales before bed and letting it percolate in my head before I go to sleep. And when I wake up in the morning, I've got all these strange kind of things tied together. And I started reading the old versions of Little Red Riding Hood.
Wow.
Holy cow. If you, any adults out there, if you want to read something severely disturbing, look up Little Red Hat. It's an old Italian story. And it's really something. And the French version of it's pretty out there too, but Little Red Hat is a very, very different kind of story. And in fact, the thing I noticed is that horror stories are the ones that last.
Hmm.
If you think about it, the legends we know, they might have been Disney-fied, but they're all kind of horrific in some way, and that makes us retell them over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I didn't realize very quickly about Snow White, the end of Snow White, the original telling, most people don't know, she became a queen.
Uh-huh.
Her mother was the queen, the evil queen.
Yep.
She invited her to the wedding, realized who she was, and then she had her guards have her put on iron shoes that were red because they'd just been heated up, and she may forced her mother to dance till she died.
Wow.
Yeah, that's messed up.
That is very you messed know? Up.
So,
okay.
But it's been really an interesting thing, but the reason I think that's cool is that for some reason it's allowing me to tie the childhood innocence of things to the darker aspects and then realize why those things work together. Because most lullabies are either soothing or they're to scare the hell out of the child.
Very true.
All right, so.
Do you have a submission?
I do not have a submission. I know.
No submissions.
But I do have something, a poem I'm going to read at the end of the segment
okay.
to kind of push right. things forward. But let's immediately go to New York, where some would say it all began and it all comes from, with Lorraine. Lorraine, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you this week?
I'm fine. Did you have a good holiday?
You know, we did. How about you? Which holiday are we talking about?
It sucked.
Oh.
No, it was Thanksgiving. And
I did.
Since Mom passed, you know, it's been different. There's no aromas in the house, and there's no family lived, you know, they moved away and whatever. But I'm thankful I'm here. And you know, I'm thankful that you guys are there. I have a whole mess of things that I've been writing. I'm going to read one, of course. It's called... it isn't called. Okay. Sins, if you want. S-I-N-S.
Okay.
Sins.
Okay.
Sins are suffered in silence. The mea culpas are never heard by those that should hear them. We beat our chests in the privacy of a church pew, an exit without atonement, without forgiveness, once again into the world retreating, unchanged and empty. What has changed? We remain connected to what we cannot remember and what we are unable to forget. End poem. Love those claps.
Do you? We have several seals that we pay full time to just stand there and clap for us.
Do you pay them? I hope
we pay them. You pay them in fish, which
well,
is also
fish.
How I try to. I pay everybody else in my life. My doctor never wants to see me again ever since I tried to give him a 3-day old
Well,
Marlin.
It sounds like the claps are very, very enthusiastic. So I would imagine that you pay them well.
Well, you know, seals like fish.
Yeah.
That's about all I can say. They're kind of pumped sometimes.
That's great. That's fantastic. I have much to offer, but I'm gonna get that thing that email to you, and in the interim, I hope you have a good week and a good. Are you gonna be on in an hour or?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is just the first segment. You're the first caller of the first segment, so we have a ways to go.
All right. Okay. Then I will stay awake, and I will talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay. Okay. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Lorraine. And that was Lorraine all the way from New York. JT, you and I have got to stop this. We're getting to the point where
we're
doing the jinx thing all the time. Not just on the air.
No.
Dude, you ever get the feeling we hang out too much?
Some would say. My daughter says, hanging out with your boyfriend tonight. I'm like, fine, if that's what it has to be.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just resigned myself. I don't really care anymore.
I'm right there with you.
And I appreciate it. I enjoy it. I don't think we'd hang out if we didn't enjoy it.
That's very true.
You know?
It's very true.
Yeah. So I think it's a good thing. All right. So that was Lorraine. I think we're starting off really well. That was nice. Yeah. And that was a strong piece by her,
it
too.
It was. It really was.
Yeah. That was very good. All right. Well, let's head to Jim now in Pennsylvania, home of the sandwich. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. This is it's great to have you so early in the show.
Yeah, I'm glad to be on so early.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. How was your week?
Pretty good. We got the salads done, so I have off the next 2 days.
Woo-hoo! All right. Oh, that's great. So what do you have? What do you have for us in the first segment? Because I know we'll hear from you again. So I just, you know, let's just set the stage.
This time I thought I'd read somebody else's poem.
Okay.
It's a favorite of mine, and I first heard him on the Prairie Home Companion.
Nice.
Billy Collins, who I share a birthday with, recited his poem Litany, and I'm going to read that. You are the bread and the knife, the crystal goblet and the wine. You are the dew on the morning grass and the burning wheel of the sun. You are the white apron of the baker and the marsh bird suddenly in flight. However, you are not the wind in the orchard, the plums on the corner, or the house of guards. And you are certainly not the pine-scented air. There is no way you are the pine-scented air. It is possible that you are the fish under the bridge, maybe even the pigeon on the general's head, but you are not even close to being the field of cornflowers at dusk. And a quick look in the mirror will show that you are neither the boots in the corner nor the boat asleep in its boathouse. It might interest you to know, speaking of the plentiful imagery of the world, that I am the sound of rain on the roof. I also happen to be the shooting star, the evening paper blowing down an alley, and the basket of chestnuts on the kitchen table. I am also the moon in the trees and the blind woman's teacup. But don't worry, I am not the bread and the knife. You are still the bread and the knife. You will always be the bread and the knife, not to mention the crystal goblet and somehow the wine. End of poem.
Very nice.
Thank
you. You know, it's one of those things where I I'm glad to hear that you listen to Prairie Home Companion. I know a lot of people who just talk so negatively about that show, and I always grew up listening to it. And one thing I will say is Garrison Keillor is actually a very solid humorist. He's very, very good with comedy, but also has a unique sensibility. And I've always heard so many great pieces of work coming out of that show.
Well, you know, he no longer hosts the show.
What now?
He retired.
Did he?
I think this was his last year doing it.
Oh, really? I didn't even know.
Yeah, he still does the Writer's Almanac, which I try to listen to as often as I can.
Sure.
But, I can't even find Prairie Home Companion in my area. It used to be, they used to air it on Saturday nights from 6 to 8.
Mm. Yeah.
But they have something else. I said, what is this? It's like, I want to listen to Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my favorite part was always the news from Lake Wobegon,
mm-hmm.
where all the children are, I can't remember how to do it.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I mean, you know, one thing I will tell you, Jim, if you go to...
Where all the men are good-looking women or something, and the children are above average.
Well, the women are strong, the men are good-looking, and the children are above average.
The women are strong, the men are good-looking, and the children are above average.
Now, if you go to iTunes or Stitcher, I think, you can look up Prairie Home Companion, and they actually have all of the news from Lake Wobegon just in episodes all the way down. And that's great.
Well, there was a time back in the late 90s, I would record the shows on cassette.
Yep.
And I have about 3 years worth of shows.
Very cool.
Oh my gosh, to try and find them all.
Yeah, that would be a bit of you almost have to kind of go the way Philip does. Do poetry by weight instead of, I don't really care if it's 3 years. How much do they weigh, Jim?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Well, I always got the 2 hour tape, so it's like, I know I'm not going to miss any of the show.
That's awesome. No, that's really cool. Well, hey, we're going to keep it going, Jim. I want to get going to Barbara, but I want to say thanks so much. We're looking forward to hearing from you in the return engagement.
Yeah, I will.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Jim, along with Lorraine, kicking us off. He was in Pennsylvania, home of the Philly cheesesteak.
There you go.
See?
The other sandwich.
Took me a minute. The un-sandwich.
Because the other one would be the Rothlands burger. Yeah.
That was good. Speaking of good, let's go to Connecticut.
All right.
Because everybody's good in Connecticut. Hey, Barbara.
Hey, you.
How's
Hi, guys.
Going? How are you?
I'm doing. I just for some reason, I got some sharp pains in my knee tonight. And I said, I think it might be coming, like going to snow or rain, because I hadn't had any pain all day, and then suddenly sharp pain, so it could possibly be snowing. I mean,
it also could be a message that World Poetry Open Mic's about to start.
It could be your signal came right to my knee. It is, after all, titanium. I don't know.
That's the thing. Well, maybe it was the titanium in my arm calling to the titanium in your knee saying, get ready, get ready.
They very always, cool.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
No, I don't really think they actually talked
to
each other.
Okay, for this.
Just to clarify. Yeah, okay.
We're not crazy. We just have bionic, limbs.
We're not crazy. We're just poets and stronger than most humans. Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Soon. Okay. So I noticed that our poet of the month is Emily Dickinson, who I love, love, love.
Is that what you noticed?
Yes, I noticed.
How'd you notice?
It was right on the front.
I'm kidding with you, Barbara.
I'm very gullible.
No, you're not gullible. To be honest, maybe I actually forgot I put it on the main page.
I can be baited, yes, really.
No, no.
I'm easy as far as that goes. Anyway, so I found this poem, which I have never read before of hers, which I love to do, so finding new poems is great. And it's called It Would Never Be Common, More, I Said. And it's I think it's very different from her. Anyway, here goes. It would never be common, more, I said, difference had begun. Many a bitterness had been, but that old sort was done. Or, if it sometime showed as twill upon the downiest, Mom, such bliss had I for all the years, 'twould given Easter pain. I'd so much joy, I told it, red upon my simple cheek. I felt it publish in my eye, 'twas needless any speak. I walked as wings my body bore the feet I formerly used, unnecessary now to me as boots would be to birds. I put my pleasure all abroad. I dealt a word of gold to every creature that I met and dowered all the world when suddenly my riches shrank. A goblin drank my dew. My palaces dropped tenantless. Myself was beggared too. I clutched at sounds, I groped at shapes, I touched the tops of films. I felt the wilderness roll back along my golden lines. The sackcloth hangs upon the nail, the frock I used to wear. But where my moment of brocade, my drop of India? And that was Emily Dickinson in poem.
Loved the read. Good job, Barbara. And that is one of my favorite ones too. She was quite a unique poet. I wonder, but one of the things I couldn't help thinking about when I was finding out more and more about her life was how many other wonderful female poets do you think were there that just didn't have a family that was receptive enough to find the work.
I know those poets.
Yeah, there's so many of them, aren't there?
I did a big paper on those poets.
On the women, ones no one knew about? Yeah.
Women writers who were famous. I don't remember their names because there were so many of them.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I actually went in, you know, and dug and found all of these women poets who had been famous and writers who had been famous during the 1800s and whose names completely were, like, they were buried.
Yeah.
I had to really do research to find them.
What a strange world we live in. You know, when you think about
it, really,
that.
It was incredible. You know, and yeah. I don't remember the names because there were so many. There were just so many. And yeah. It was at a time when I was reading so much that I couldn't keep it in my head. But I do remember thinking, oh, my God. We never knew about these women, and they are magnificent. Their work was outstanding. They were actually lauded at that time, and it fell away. History did not repeat it. Just ridiculous.
That is really strange, isn't it? Well, you know, the best part is we have the chance to do it now, and no one can tell us yes or no. We don't have people who are able to dictate.
Yeah, I should go back and look for that paper so that I could.
Sounds really useful, Barbara. If you decide to put it up, we'll link to it on our site.
Yeah, that's a big one though. I'd have to, you know, type it in.
Oh, really? Well, maybe if you can scan it in, that could work also. You can actually scan it or have someone else.
I could find that paper and scan it in because that was an amazing experience going through and it was, you know, dusty. Books that hadn't been read in years.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, like, I said, wow. So all these women writers that didn't get any kind of credit. It's just amazing.
Mm.
And anyway.
All right.
So I will try.
Please
do. I will try to find that.
Please do.
Okay.
I'll
be back.
We'll talk to you. I'll be back with the immortal words of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Barbara Ehrentrud leaves us from the first segment. Thank you so much.
All right. Okay, guys. Bye-bye.
Did you hear how she had to correct it there at the end? She didn't want to be using the same words of the governor.
Right, well, that's true.
Yeah, but I think that was great. You know what? So, you know I'm a big listener of podcasts and things,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I think I mentioned this when I heard an interview with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Do you know that he was, when he came to the United States to act, he never wanted to depend on the money for acting. So what he did was he started a masonry company with Columbo.
Okay.
And they would, they would go do masonry, and he saved up money, and also from his bodybuilding courses and stuff he'd sell, which were doing okay, but they weren't, you know, massive.
Yeah.
Saved up enough money, bought an apartment building, took that, bought another apartment building. So suddenly he owned, I think, 5 or 6 buildings and was himself made millionaire before he ever made a movie.
Wow.
And he never auditioned because he didn't want to count on the money from the movies, so he would take any job. And he didn't want to audition because he was one type of guy, and that's the only kind of stuff he would do.
Hmm.
I thought that was an interesting approach.
All right.
And as artists, it's always interesting to hear about someone who had this disproportionate success versus their skill level, because let's face it, that guy can't act his way out of a paper bag. My favorite scene ever is him talking to him in the movie 6 Days, or 6 Days Later, or whatever.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever told you you're a good-looking man? Thanks. Right, it's just so bad. That's my favorite scene. I'm like, this man's a movie star. This man is a star. All right. Speaking of stars, though, we do have several stars on our show, and one of them, without a doubt, is Dennis. Dennis, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. It's Friday night.
It is. I'm not used to having you so far down the chart here on the first call-in segment. There's some competition tonight.
Well, I sure did, and what a talented group of poets led, and I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do too. Very much.
It's good to be anywhere on the list. Yeah.
That's right. So, what do you have for us?
Well, Barbara mentioned that the poet of the month is Emily Dickinson.
Yeah.
And yes, I came to that conclusion too. And in doing a little bit of research on her, I found out that in her lifetime, she only had 12 poems published.
Yeah.
And her work was published after she died and got more appreciated then. And that was a shame. But she lived such a secluded life. And she wrote for herself mostly, but what a collection, a wonderful collection of words that she left behind. And I'm glad they were preserved for us.
Agreed. Very much so.
And so I'd like to read one of her poems. The title is A Bird Came Down the Walk. This is by Emily Dickinson. A bird came down the walk. He did not know I saw. He bit an angle worm in halves and ate the fellow raw. And then he drank a dew from a convenient grass. And then hopped sideways to the wall to let a beetle pass. He glanced with rapid eyes that hurried all abroad. They looked like frightened beads, I thought. He stirred his velvet head. Like one in danger, cautious, I offered him a crumb. And he unrolled his feathers and rolled him softer home. Then oars divide the ocean, two silver for a seam, or butterflies off banks of noon, leapt, plashless as they swim. End of poem.
Wow. Well, first of all, great read. And second of all, her work is stunning, isn't it?
Yes, she has such great imagery and depth in her poetry. And it's easy to become a fan once you start reading her works.
Isn't that true? I find some of the best poets and the best writers are the same way. But with, then there's other people who, I was talking with someone last night, a writer I respect very much. We were talking about H.P. Lovecraft and how people love H.P. Lovecraft. But no matter how much I read it, love his tone.
Yep.
And I think people love the world, but I can't get into the writing. I don't become friends with him. I don't really feel a connection there. But with Dickinson, with Charles Dickens even, I mean, there's a real connection that happens there.
Yeah, some people have the kind of talent just to draw you in and hold your imagination. Right. She certainly was one of those.
Absolutely. Dennis, you're a great friend of the show, and we always appreciate you so much.
Well, I'm so glad this show is here. And once again, I want to express the appreciation for what you do for us. And I appreciate your faithfulness in being here so often. And it's a blessing to us. So let me move on down the line. Let the next poet step up to the mic. And let's hear some more great poetry and step aside and say God bless.
God bless,
Dennis. God bless you, Dennis. Thank you. And that was Dennis from the wrist, the non-carpal tunnel-esque wrist. I might have carpal tunnel. It doesn't mean it's a bad wrist if it's carpal tunnel.
It's true.
You know, I have crazy carpal tunnel and tendonitis in this hand.
Yeah, I
Man,
bet.
Man, it's bugging me now. That's for sure. When you're sleeping in wrist braces and that's not enough.
Ouch.
There's a problem.
Stop punching the walls.
You know, I actually did that when I was going through martial arts training. I'd wake up and hit the wall.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It was a strange thing. So that thing in Kill Bill, that actually happens. That actually, you wake up, bam! Yeah. So anyway, let's, random tidbit, let's head to a new caller. First time ever on the show. I've never even spoken to this gentleman before. This is Rome from Connecticut. Rome, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well, man. Thanks for calling. How'd you hear about us?
My buddy finished his spit earlier.
Wonderful. I'm glad he let you know, and we're happy to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So let me ask you, do you perform poetry anywhere else? Do you go to poetry open mics? Do you contribute to a group or anything like that?
No, you know, I just roam around. I do other shows like on Blog Talk and whatnot.
Oh, wonderful. Cool. Well, all right. And thank you, Sinister. We always love having new people. So I'm going to kind of shut up, sit back, and let you kind of have the floor. And when you're done, just say end poem. We'll come back on, okay?
All right, cool.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rome. The stage is yours.
All right. Piece I have I brought this year is it's called Running Wild. And here it goes. Growth under the misled. Misfits of the night run naked in the moon prism, dancing with wolves. Images held captive by shadows. Glance glares off an iris mirror, blind. Worrisome, flustered in minds. Of unrighteous callers crying in the night, my desperation. Inhales, exhales. Desires burning by the crackling pits of my soul where the cherry wood gets tossed. Red wine delights spin circles. Lipstick rim empty glasses, shattered on blooded sediment. Howls. Who acts the owls? Night watches perched of perfection. Twisting heads, bulging eyes, willows weep the story quite the same. I cried. Here I lay in my freedom caged, open to the closed beginnings, running to reach an end, blowing smoke to the clouds, king to max their appearance. It's as if we lay upon the moon, looking down, walking on air on edge. I wish a future, if not to be one. The wind speak to me. Effortlessly breeze through my struggles, running in ease of river's creek. I hear ripple of time. I jump. Back where I left it all behind, to imagine. End poem.
Yeah. Loved that, man. That was great.
Well done.
We're always...
Thank you. Appreciate it. Sorry about the little stumbling there. It's a new
piece. Hey, no worries, man. No worries. I've done a million times worse. So many weeks in a row, man. No, it was absolutely great. We love having, you know, great new talent come to the show and share with us and... I hope you'll consider we're doing a thing. So we'll do another segment or two where we have unique callers calling in. But after that, we'll do a thing called the return engagement where everybody who's called in already can call in again and share another poem. And if you're still around, we'd love for you to consider joining us and sharing something else.
Yeah, definitely will. I'm all ears here. We're going to listen and hear some great stuff as been doing so.
All right, man. I appreciate that so much and hope you enjoy the show until then. But we look forward from hearing from you more tonight.
All right, great.
All right. Thanks a lot, buddy. Talk to you later. That was Rome from Connecticut. First time on the show.
Yeah.
Did a wonderful job.
He did.
I love that. Love that. All right. Well, the cat has been let out of the bag and has been found to have been alive and dead at the same time.
Wonderful. Okay.
So Schrodinger was...
both right and wrong?
Too damn right.
Oh, wait. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Right and wrong were just right.
I guess, yeah.
In a cosmic sense. So this is, I'm going to read something from Emily Dickinson also.
Ah, okay.
All right. And this is from the Time and Eternity section of this Complete Poems book, which I think is great. It's called I Died for Beauty. I died for beauty, but it was scarce. Adjusted in the tomb when one who died for truth was lain in an adjoining room. He questioned softly why I failed. For beauty, I replied. And I for truth, the two are one. We brethren are, he said. And so, as kinsmen met a night, we talked between the rooms until the moss had reached our lips and covered up our names. That's from Emily Dickinson, I Died for Beauty. Boy.
That was good.
She's just such an interesting turn of phrase all the time. All right. So, let's get ready. We're going to head into the second segment. Without any ado, let's just do it. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. We need 5 unique callers. Give us a call.
Rock the mic, rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic, hot. Hot, hot like this. I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. when you rock, when you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we're back. Segment number two. I have to say, hearing Lenny C. talk about rock the mic, rock the mic. You know, one thing that I think people, I'm probably the only one who's seen this, and I know J. Todd used to see this here too. But there's something that happens, most people aren't aware of in this show. When we're doing a call segment, I basically busy myself in getting like administrative stuff done or whatever we need to do. I sit back. But I get to see JT throw down. I mean, this is a the amount of calls coming in and him grabbing things and, you know, and just so quickly and efficiently answering, getting the names on the list and getting things ready to go. I mean, he's skipping between different computers and he's doing all kinds of things. Super impressive, man. And thank you for everything you do. But I mean, that's like the unheralded, like.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I've always thought with performing too, you know, going and doing live shows and things.
Yeah.
We finished and everybody's like, you know, really into the performers. And in the back of my mind, and all the musicians I mentioned this to agree with me. We're all like, yeah, but the real heroes are the guys back there. The guys who no one are talking to right now, tearing everything down. Yep. They're the whole reason this thing happened.
Yeah, setting it up, tearing it down, the before and after.
They're the heroes, man. And so I really appreciate that. And, man, it's just great to watch. So I thought I'd mention that.
Thank you.
All right, so now we had, you know, just a few callers this time, so we're actually going to be going to the return engagement after this. We have something kind of we're wedging in between there, but first of all, let's go down to the southeastern part of the country to Diane. Diane, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, how are you this evening?
I'm very good. How are you guys?
Doing real well, thank you.
No, I'm glad to hear it.
I think JT's doing well. I answered for him.
I am doing well.
I didn't let you answer for yourself, man. Sorry.
<It's all> good.
We go out to dinner afterwards. So what are you guys having? Well, he'll have. No. I kind of want to do that. We should try to get in an argument about ordering for each other.
That's fine. Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. Okay. So, Diane, so what do you have for us tonight?
This is a poem I wrote a couple of weeks ago. It's called Darkness to Light.
All right.
And forgive me, I've got a little bit of a sore throat, so I hope this all comes out okay.
No problem.
Anyway, Darkness to Light. The human condition can pass as a soap opera, but a soul splintered by dark cinders will still seek sanctuary where it can. The raped seed will give birth to something new, no matter how or what created it. Damaged, we still seek to find the light. The reason for being whom and what we wish to be. Under unconquered skies, each day will dawn, and tides will swell with longing. But in the right light, planted seeds will always come to fruition. And when the truth of what and who we are is finally revealed, then we will dance as though damage never existed. And the sanctuary I have found in you will remain, like God's light shining a path through the unseen, leaving trails of star crumbs, all of which eventually lead to heaven and back to home. That was it.
No, I like that one very much. I really like that one.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm
glad.
It's one of those things that, you know, when you're going through rough times in life, and it's really one of those things where you kind of do think about, you know, what would it be like to not have damage done internally or physically or whatever.
Exactly. And you have to just keep on keeping on and know that eventually it'll all come right.
You know, that's the thing I was thinking. If I'm still alive, it's not over. If I'm still alive, you know, if I'm still alive, the game's still on. And I kind of remember that. Of course, it's easy to remember that now when I'm, you know, have a life I'm happy with. When there's been the times where, you know, there's been times where things were not good. And it was really hard to think like that. So I think myself now would probably just annoy myself back when I wasn't in a good space. But I'm happy to have come out
of it. Well, yeah, and that can be true, too. Sometimes dark poetry is there for a reason, too.
Oh, hell, I write dark poetry all the time, Diane.
I was for a long time. Maybe I'm starting to get back to it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe you are.
Yeah.
Well, if you do, keep bringing it to us. We love your work always.
All right. And I got my book, and gentlemen, it is lovely.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoy it.
I'm looking at it right now.
Well, awesome. Awesome. Yes. I'm happy to see. And that, like we said, it's real in the world now, right? The book is out there.
Yes.
Look at
very
that.
Very impressive.
I love that. All right. Wonderful. Thank you, Diane.
All right.
We'll talk to you in the next segment, okay?
Have a lovely evening.
All right.
All right. Be well.
All right. Talk to you then. Thank you, Diane.
Bye-bye.
So, throwing down for a first one of the night, that was Diane.
Yeah.
Leading off segment number dos. Numero dos. Yeah. I always want to say numero two or number dos. Yeah.
I think I like number dos.
Number dos.
Just
number dos. All right, now we're going to go to the deeply serious part of the show and bring on That's enough
perfect.
Right there.
Right.
How are you, sir?
Oh, well, with that rim shot, I'm doing quite well. Didn't the serious part of this show, perhaps. That's always a risk when chatting with me, and I don't even intentionally go there. And this is just, you know, a really clumsy segue, just pretending that you may be asking me, how are you? I have a really difficult time with this portion of the year.
Yeah.
Cause last time we were talking about large numbers, I think.
Right. Yeah.
And some of the other large numbers that live in my head all the time, the cosmos, give or take, is about 14 billion years. The Earth is about 4.5 billion years old. You know, and to me, that's tantamount to how many times it's circled around the sun as well. So when people say happy 2016 or 17 or 18, I'm like, I just don't even know where to begin with that. And so I just bite my tongue, and I go, that's great, we're excited. And then the opposite of that, here's a lighter note on all that. This is something I've been talking to my lady about. It's just joking, but also fun. And you may want to try this with your class if it holds any merit. I don't know if it does.
Sure.
But the question being, hey, kid, make me a perpetual motion machine. How would you go about making a perpetual motion machine? You know, and the ideal is you ask this question in, like, you know, kindergarten or something, you know, explaining what that is and yada, yada. And then by the time they get around to graduation, they realize only the cosmos is the only perpetual machine that I can really point to knowingly and say that's what really fits these terms, those definitions.
I kind of love that. And I got to be honest, I'm going to try that. And I am. And the other thing that's really awesome about that is beyond the concept of it, is the fact that somehow Philip from Kentucky has now influenced the education of children in a Catholic school in Denver, Colorado.
Maybe one day I'll be excommunicated like Galileo. Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know what? Hey, it's you know, all the best people were.
Right. No, I have no problem with Catholic schools. Actually, I spent 4 years in a Catholic school, and did wonders. It was really a great experience, and they were good people, and I needed it. So, you know,
yeah.
Cheers to that.
Same thing with me.
Was that, sir? I'm sorry.
It was the same thing with me. I needed it as well. I've been sent to this. I was sent to this gifted, this alternative gifted uh-huh. school, right? My parents uh-huh. used to go clean the school on the weekends so we could afford tuition and all of this.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And they would say, well, you could go study whatever you want to study. This was their method. So the result uh-huh. of that was I got to third grade and couldn't read. Mm-hmm. So that didn't really. So my mother, being a teacher, intelligently mm-hmm. enough, said, okay, I'm going to take a year, homeschool you, and aww. Get you there. And the first, and strangely enough, and Philip, this will make sense to someone like you, the first book I read was King Arthur by Sir James Knowles, which is not an easy book. And went right into it and loved it, but haven't stopped reading since, but then went to a Catholic school and got on the right track. So, but I needed it for
and
sure.
Now he's reading comics, really, and he's progressed all the way to comics. It's great.
It's awesome. I'm like a 13-year-old boy with my literary tastes.
I thought for a second you might have said, and he progressed all the way to selling Amway. We are so proud of him.
That's true. And speaking of Philip, after the show, I have this great opportunity using the internet to make money. So you're going to have to really talk to me.
I'm interested.
This whole show is just an Amway ploy.
Right.
Come to my meeting. All right. I'm going to show.
No, it's great. No, cheers. And I'll be quick. And it's just incidental that I happen to pick up one little piece or something about Dickinson. It's one of the things I was doing when I was reading as I was in the grocery store, because that's what I do. I push the buggy and I get to read, and that way it keeps me from saying ominous things to people, you know. So I think this is a good introduction.
Just walk by and say ominous things.
Who knows whatever. I don't know how to censor myself anymore. I just don't even know if I'm talking to anybody real or not. So, and I'm big and I'm bearded and people just, they kind of give me that, you know, and I'm cagey as well. I know I'm feral, so I'm not even trying to hide that anymore.
You're a feral poet. You walk by someone in the meat section, you're like, we're made of the same things.
Yeah, right. Something like that, right? I know y'all edible, so you know, yeah. Don't get me started.
I know y'all edible.
No, this I think is a really pithy way of kind of an introduction to if you were to teach something about American poetry, because I do think Dickinson and Whitman are really our forebears of what's really the best in American poetry. And this line really kind of summarizes it, and then I'll go into somebody else's poem, and then I'll be done. Emily Dickinson wrote that she was nobody at approximately the same time Walt Whitman was claiming to be everybody. And I think there's a lot of truth or insight into that little, and that was written by somebody called Alicia Ostriker, or Ostriker. I don't know how to pronounce her name. It's just incidental. I just happened to be reading that. And then I also happened to read this poem when I was at the grocery store, and it really moved me. I'm not real familiar with William Stafford. I should be more familiar. I think everything I've read by him so far has been really interesting, but I've not really kind of studied him. But anyway, here is his poem. It's called Traveling Through the Dark, and let's see how this works out. Traveling through the dark, I found a deer dead on the edge of the Wilson River Road. It is usually best to roll them into the canyon. That road is narrow. To swerve might make more dead. By glow of the taillight, I stumbled back of the car and stood by the heap, a doe, a recent killing. She had stiffened already, almost cold. I dragged her off. She was large in the belly. My fingers touched her side and brought me the reason. Her side was warm. Her fawn lay there waiting, alive, still, never to be born. Beside the mountain road, I hesitated. The car aimed ahead its lowered parking lights. Under the hood purred the steady engine. I stood in the glare of the warm exhaust turning red. Around our group, I could hear the wilderness listen. I thought hard for us all, my only swerving, then pushed her over the edge into the river. And that's Mr. William Stafford.
Wow. Well, great read, and thanks for the share, man.
Oh, yeah, no, cheers. Thank you. I've been writing a lot of prose, so I haven't been, you know, delving into a lot of poetry. I mean, I have, but, you know, it's different than when I'm just focusing mostly on that. But anyway.
Yeah, it's a different mindset. It really is.
It really is. Yeah, it truly is. And we can talk more about that at some other point. Because I know you've got eager poets, man.
I got an eager poet I'm waiting to call in.
Oh, right. Is this Sinister?
Sinister, yeah. Did I give it away?
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully he does. But I think. Oh, there he is. So Philip,
there he is.
Kentucky. We'll see.
Cheech and Chong on you. Goodbye.
We'll
see
you next segment.
Cheers.
All right. See you later. And that was Philip in Kentucky. And now we're gonna take it live.
We're gonna do it live.
Do it live.
I guess. See that segment.
Hello, it's Sinister. How are you, sir?
Yeah, great, man. Great.
We stalled just the right amount.
I hate your phone line. Every time my wife calls and I have to take her call, and it just drops me.
Oh, boy. That's frustrating. So,
well, hey, it's cool. You guys, just tell me when to call back. Just get used to it. It's a sinister thing.
I guess it is,
cynicism,
huh?
You know? It's well, cynicism. That's what we'll call it.
Well, hey, man, how was this week?
It's a crappy week. But I'm good, bye, you know. Yeah. I got my co-author, I illustrated a book for my buddy. He just published it.
Wonderful.
The two versions, his version with his illustrations and then with mine, the Sinister version. So that just came out.
Awesome. Congratulations, man. That's great.
I mean, it's just a self-published gig, but still it's out there. So that's two books I got out there in my name. Working
awesome.
On a third that I'm going to put in a contest and hopefully win. So
sounds good.
Got about 40 pieces to go for it. So.
Well, so I'm going to give you the stage and let you take it, okay?
All right, yeah, and then I want to ask you something afterwards, all right?
Sounds good. All right, buddy. Talk to you in a second.
Yeah, give me a minute. Everything crashed. Hold on.
All right, well, so I'll just sit here and make strange faces.
You know, there it is. All right,
here we go. Ready.
It is here. Sorry, I lost my drive. There it is.
Okay, all right.
Weakened with a barathrum. Doomsday is fair, the city center, out past the brightly lit ambient class, where shadows meet. Chrome reflections flushed by the pound. Sarcophilia streams, backlit. Smoky cubicles aside from the disco ball dazzling sense of lust. Diagenic. Parables. The lone whisper of a ragabash and cortex howling desperately for release, now living. Cocaine embrace, scotch wash to alleviate social standards lived in planet. And finally, ecstasy, substance rendered, shoots emerald sequins to illuminate glass retinas. Denial besieged by lies once lived, resurrecting to escape prophetic horror. Nap loathing of crystal ball foretelling ignored. Steel shivers entice the libido craze of absence spent. And dimly lit paperless walls, wasted moments and bloodless dreams. Invigorating is the victory of the bathroom waves, rescinding the months, countless vacant stares, rejection, perpetual release of mind, incubus, encircled through the depths of denial. We bed down. Electrocution of one's duty soaked moral fibers. Wrist wrap, dormant. Patience, the devil's friend is an insatiable man bending to release a chaos of straight lines, potions opted. Throw me a baker's dozen to make her memories melt to blossoming sapphire tip orchids crying. Run my gamut in seedy backstreets dim lit, licking the city's belly for lessons of forgotten sins. Parasitic pleasures, lunatic walking, embryonic pleasure, a purely tangible hypocrisy of sustenance. A reveler of sinister deviance, a chaotic zombie limbo of disconnection from pavement travel, gravity of sconing you, bulging pupils, as of a sky pilot fight, moment in hand. Serpentine dictals. Elbow deep in the diabrotic, punch bowl of hell's fury, land of salacious clippings, and a discerning goof. One truly split of the scenes lost, photos of picket fences, ball and chain fallacy, shattered by tragedy and lies. Revamped derision. How insatiable can a maniac become released? Territories aren't a worthy adversary of bloodlust. Snapping lizard razor jaws, took the points of jumping off. Knuckles, swollen and bloody, now smirking unscathed, catapulting through the sky. However, your blood moon is just out of reach. Moon around. Lighting the bowl in search of wagtails and rupsters, catcalling from beneath spent street lights, letters home. Forgotten moments wipe the crust of 30 orifices. Silver street fantasies often lead to ravishing cruises of the city's live beings. Precious dolls. My pleasure to chew and the bifurcation has faded. No end of the streets, malicious chewing. Fever flashes of pulsating yellow vibrations, car driven to expose the toenail to the street. Running rats in concrete mazes, scurrying for ends to deploy, caught us waiting to disconnect, contemplating conundrums. Mad laughter strikes to descend, riotous incursions, longing to retrieve psychosis, stomach, portal. Simple daily vitamin of the self-tenuous genocide that begun its atrocious phases ahead, finally spent amongst artillery bombardment. Really perverse upper class of crazy to be agonized. Who's $500? Breakneck forces never seen this light. Clearing, radioactive now. The potions consume ravaged hedonics, creature of the night, unleashed, fully enthralled in the neon glow and ruby lipstick show. Okay, like street kids on homemade speed, I find low tox and dark corners where it awaits me. Video violence. Leather strap flesh bursting up. A copia. And dirty. sweet, what? Dying for losing well spent. I can't be enough to grasp the heightened release. Boom, thrilling, just chattering, asphyxiate the erupting madness to live like husband. Raven, back into the call. Ascension is abrupt. A deviant, unimaginable plateau of action and thought, possibilities of which so dire consequence, just whitewashed and euphoric euphemisms of terrell train wrecks, burial rites for the jaded, constricting the spirals of smoke, all that burns about inept one who fires prey. Balderdash, economic, eccentric life of the party. Ceremonial rites of violence through power projected blood flow, mirror lucid reflection, stoic posture, once seen, now staring back as wrath from unknown. Larry, though you could be mortared 10 feet inside of him, you hide among sacred relics. So haunted, oblivious, shutting down. That's the point, isn't it? Purging and lime across the bathroom stalls, sickly iridescent, dropping the sand he once clung to with snowflake inhalations of comatose rhetoric diminishing. Walls weren't meant to be so high or fearful in the destruction of insatiable you dwell. Leaves no recourse, but Monday's mundane shuffle, sweat through gaps, consciousness, and peace.
Wow. Sinister bringing the thunder again, man.
Sorry for the fault in the beginning there.
It's all right, man. No problem. No problem.
Just beat it on me. Shit.
Great job, dude. Great job.
You know, I put out a challenge today. I was just looking for new inspiration and going through the log of files dictionary and picking words. I'm like, huh? Share this with everybody because that's how that piece came about. I found that website, and Wicked was born. And so I put that out there, and it was a great response.
Awesome.
And Titus wrote a really good piece I was hoping to hear.
Well, that's one. So, now, he had posted earlier. He had something happening today. He wouldn't be able to be on the show. So he sends his regrets.
It's a great piece. You should check out my page. It's on my page. You put on there. It's a really good piece he wrote for it.
Awesome, man.
He's every single one of them. Hey, so for the return engagement, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Rome and I did this collaboration. We haven't never actually read it. I would like to read it during the return engagement.
Sure.
All right, so just whichever one of us calls in, or let him call in, and you tell me when to call in. Or how do we want
to? Are we able to do that, JT? I mean, I
can merge two calls.
Okay, we can merge two calls? Okay, so
I had no,
we'll try it. We'll try it on the air, man. Yeah, we'll do it. It could be a dumpster fire and fall apart. We'll find out.
Well, you know, I'll burn it all down anyway.
Yeah, you know what, man? Let's just live and do it. Let's try it, huh?
Hell yeah, man. Right on. Cool.
All right.
Guys, thanks. We'll talk to you a little bit.
Yep. All right, sounds good. Talk to you in a bit. That was Sinister all the way from Missouri.
Yes.
In the second segment.
Wow. That threw me off. I'm sorry. That was just like, wait, what?
Yeah, it was one of those.
This is the second segment.
This is the second segment. That's right. So yeah. I need to finish something.
Yes.
So I started this beginning of a story last week, if you were listening. Now, this is from the book called The Legion of Regrettable Supervillains, which is just such a great. I kind of wish we'd come up with this and actually formed like a secret society.
It would have been cool.
The Legion of the Regrettable Supervillains. Or just of regrettable supervillains. So I left off. We're talking about this person named The Jingler with the headline, Poetry and Death. What a rare combination. And it's a poet who was struggling, who ended up killing a publisher. So to give you a quick run into what we were reading last week, the last paragraph I read was, so they said my verses would never be published. The Jingler said, fearing crows in his candlelit apartment, I had to murder to get my verses read. But it's worth it. If it's murder they want, they'll have it. He added, following a train of thought that's probably crossed the mind of every unpublished writer at some point. So now I'm going to finish the story.
All right.
Dubbed The Jingler by the papers, fearing He was dubbed the Jingler by the papers, fearing attacks. Wait, this is so terribly written. I'm sorry. This is actually really terribly written. Here we go. Dubbed the Jingler by the papers, fearing attacks, assorted publishing moguls. Fearing attacks, assorted publishing moguls as revenge for their constant snubbing. What is that sentence? There's a capital letter after a comma here. I'm not kidding. Wow. In one particularly gruesome killing, he stuffs a poetry-laden piece of paper down the throat of a publisher who earlier offered to eat Fearing's words. That'll show him. The Jingler's high-profile crimes draw the attention of the Wizard and his kid sidekick, Roy the Superboy. Sporting a highly trained super brain, the Wizard deduces that all the victims work in the publishing industry. That's a super brain. Some deduction. It's enough of a lead, however, that the Wizard and Roy are able to determine the Jingler's next target, a renowned literary critic preparing to judge the Jingler's death poems live and on the air, which is why we're not criticizing anybody. Right, Barbara? The confrontation between the Jingler and the Wizard leads from the studio to a high cliff face, as it always does, down which both men tumble as they battle. The Wizard lands safely, but the Jingler is dashed upon the rocks. And in an ironic twist, one of his last poems flutters downward and lands on the now still chest of the larcenous lyricist. The Jingler's final words, "Life quickly cools in poets and fools. One more life, my friend, is approaching its end." And that is the unfortunate and regrettable story of the Jingler. All right, so we're going to get ready to head into...
So that's what a supervillain poet would be.
Well, that's what they did. I think we could come up with one a little bit better, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think that might actually be kind of a cool little challenge.
Ooh.
You know, come with a great supervillain... poet.
Okay.
We'll work on that. All right. So, at any rate, we're getting ready to head into the return engagement. But before we do that, we're going to quickly transfer over to Studio X. I love that song so much.
Isn't it great?
And so most people don't know, when we take the Hadron Collider to Studio X, that's actually playing inside and we're dancing.
Yes.
We can't help it.
It's one of those catchy little, kind of like a samba.
And I think all at the same time we're going, intermission.
Well done, sir.
All right.
Well
done. Yes. All right. So, you know what I've been thinking a lot about recently, and I'm not saying this is a joke.
Oh.
I usually joke.
The king of E?
No. How did you know? Now, one thing I've been thinking about a lot recently is people all around the world, but also people in this country that, you know, things were exposed through the election, a lot of disquiet, a lot of people who felt like they're not heard, and a lot of kind of such a sickened level with the establishment, which I get, totally get. And I think there's a lot of strange information out there, and I also think there's a lot of strange messages. And one of the ones I keep running into with these kids growing up now is that they all think that, especially the guys, they all think that to be a man, you have to be a millionaire. You have to be a ripped millionaire who gets all kinds of women. That's how you're successful. This is through hip-hop imagery, right? The thing that gets me is, that's one, that doesn't mean anything about life. I mean, that has absolutely nothing to do with if you're happy or not, or if you're living a life of significance.
Yeah.
It's actually a very hollow existence. And I was just thinking about kind of what working people are going through. And I have a couple songs, if you don't mind, that I'd like to do by two very, very well-known songwriters. So here we go. It's going to go from dark to light.
Okay.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small, but giving you no time instead of it all.
till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. They hurt you at home, and they hit you at school. They hate you if you're clever, and they despise a fool. Till you're so crazy, you can't follow their rules. A working class hero, something to be. A working class hero is something to be. When they tortured you and scared you for 20 odd years, then they expect you to pick a career. When you really, really can't function, you're so full of fear. Working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. Keep you doped with religion and sex and TV. And you think you're so clever and classless and free. You're all still peasants as far as I can see. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. There's room at the top, they're telling you still. First you must learn to smile as you kill. If you want to be like the folks on the hill. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me.
And then, oh, thank you. That was from John Lennon.
So said the chat room.
Oh, is that what they said?
Yeah.
Cool.
Got it.
And then this one, let's see where they can go from. This is where I want to end with Studio X tonight, because I don't think we need to leave it just there.
See man standing over dead dog on a highway in a ditch. Looking down, kind of puzzled, poking that dog with a stick. Got his car door flung open, sitting out on Highway 31. Like if he stood there long enough, the dog get up and run.
Good rhythm, Michael.
It struck me kind of funny, kind of funny, sir, to me. Till at the end of every heart and dead, people find some reason to believe. Now Mary Lou loved Johnny with love mean and true. She said, baby, I'll go to work for you every day and bring my money home to you. One day he got up and left her. And ever since that, She waits down at that dirt road for young Johnny to come back. So it struck me kind of funny, and kind of funny so to me, how at the end of every hard earned day, people find some reason to believe. Congregation gathers down by the riverside. Preacher stands with his Bible, groom stand waiting for his bride. Congregation gone, the sun sets behind a weeping willow tree. Groom stands alone and watches the river rush on. So effortlessly, now he's wondering, what can his baby be? At the end of every hard earned day, people find some reason to believe. Struck me kind of funny, some kind of funny sort of me, how at the end of every hard earned day, people find some reason to believe.
And keep rhythm, apparently. All right, and that was Kind of Reason to Believe from Bruce Springsteen. All right, now we're going to leave Studio X. But as we're writing in the Hadrian Collider, JT has brought a portable phone answering system. We're going to start taking calls for the return engagement. Does that sound right to you?
That sounds right.
All right, here we go. So anybody can call in. First time, if you want to call and read for the first time tonight, you can. If you want to call back and read something else, give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or you can give us a call, Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we're back. You know, strangely enough, right as I heard his voice, you know who just sent me a message?
Draven?
Draven Gray.
Right on.
Yeah, I'm going to go out and have lunch with the guys from The Silent Still tomorrow.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing to do. There's some great guys. I'd love to, at some point, we should record a conversation with them or something, or have them call in through Skype.
Yeah.
To talk with them. Yeah. I just want everybody to get to know them, because they're just such cool people.
They are.
You know, and great artists and everything. So at any rate, we have, what, six people lined up?
Six. Yes.
Six. All right, man. And leading off, we're doing a kind of a joint thing, if we can make it work, right?
Yeah.
With between Rome and Sinister.
So Sinister, if you can hear, go ahead and start calling.
Okay. So let me put it in the chat room here too. But let's head over to Rome, and then we'll do the hello my baby, hello my honey thing, and see what we can do.
Rome, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet. Okay. So we're trying to get Sinister to call in now.
And see if we can do it. So this is a joint piece you guys did together, right?
Yes, indeed it is.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Hopefully he'll be able to join you. There he is. He's calling right now. We're gonna take it live.
Okay. Let's see. Let's wait. Answering this call will put the active call on hold.
Okay. So Rome, just hang tight. Whatever happens.
Oh, hey, look at that.
Oh, there we go.
Boom.
Boom.
Oh, there they are.
You guys on together?
Yeah.
All right. Woohoo.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. That's where even you guys are.
All right. Well, now you're on the floor. You guys have the floor.
All right. The PC is called Working in Variance of an F'd Up Insight. So here I go to start. I'm bitter, stuck in position, vision sitting still in the silhouettes. As ceiling fans spin in the matrix, my feelings get dragged, sluggish. Stuck running in place from what I hoarder. Rummage displaced, disorders have my mind out of place. I'm spinning through corridors, living in deja vu, wicked. Repeated steps to be playing fool, seeking perspective. Needed, blinded by selfishness, reasons. Never minded my helplessness, when the help was needed, that's senseless. To what I found to be meant to be. Led to my end with reason, eyeing the doubts of a higher being. counting me out of being better than what I needed presently. Just spittle. Jewels over big speech being biblical. Preach to the dozens, covering my spiritual deep. I speak the road to you unfiltered. Literal. Neither you individual, face to face with no case. I base my bias on faith. Appeal to mass, I clash from my abstract. Thought. I have formalities judged for not being standard. I grudge. For all that doesn't matter to me. In my ladder, I climb the least latitudes higher than average, just so my average do.
Time and again, I find myself tethered to an institutional repression. Ones altering cranial directions and paper cups, trazodone drips, or solitary stents to divert my stumbles and chases. A pupil schooled in windowpane televisions, learning so much from unknown steeples, shuffling in mortuary gardens of concrete. I, however, am submerged in oceans outside the gardens, drowning by stones I carry.
Known as quarry, buried under it all. The flurries rain, the game told me down to its shore. I pained, figured I realized that I fall for winters. Cold shoulders, despising it all. Eyes and all, mirror me. Mirror image, I reflected it all in an instant. Seasoned, I'm with it, depleted. Leave it to me, I stay rooted in the pain I cause. I see ruins, rings, and trees. Can tell me ages of all the loss I face historically. Whether or not the plot thickens Mother Nature before plot twisted. To see my end, so even I can see my death grinning. That's sublime, my message in between each line I sentence. Periods of time I witness. Structure never mind my penmanship, flustered. I speak dust inside my mother's, catch up. Something mustard might be relevant to all the things you... Well, I'm accustomed to these things, I've come to customize. These things they think is must. It's a dream I vision, drinking, getting up.
Infiltrate worth in reality's silver fantasy. Lies never to be tasted. Can loss become abstinence and infinite worth of my mirrored, deplorable wrangling? Despise a hammer that crushes dreamy orbital, otherwise looking down on my anxious rephrasing. Viciously, I will burn tomb of cruelty as I ignite upon sacred plagues. Solemn truth shall save thee. Ignore my omnipotent omnipotence from which I drown in infinite tumulence. Here I stand on this soapbox, peace in hand to pass on the bullshit I am facing. I'm comatose jester rejecting the remedy to dilute fractions of various ailments. My war log is Beirut on damn vacation. Let my trash fill the docks where dolphins try to exemplify nature's beauty can't show enlightenment. I'm evil incarnate, a feature of failure's refinement.
The weave confines it. Confined truth is always hidden in a place you never seek to find it. The frame going against the grain, sugar sweet. I feel the aches we caved in, breaking free from being captives. Cavity stricken, deep in the root, this had to be. Digging me. Hurt, foul sense in every breath they speak in. Metaphor with three. To a second to first, I plead upon my deathbed with grips tightened on the fifth of Hennessy. I chose not to preach what I've seen. Confessions, lessons. Lottery spins of guessing. Hope to get out of these dead ends I'm left in. Right to be caught, trapped, and it's haunting me daily. I fought to be free just to make it out barely.
Resolve is stringy leather chewed by bulletproof souls, chapped with the years of my earth fading. Countless scratch corridors that bet my freedom to chase emphatic bouts of diabolic revelry. Shake thee, quid pro quo. May I loose a notion to know the reasons I'm full-fledged insanity rounded well against doubts? Conquered the vast quiet of swelling spoils, blood pools, limbs, all the snuffed faces liquescent. I come to face my hell as living out a life half wasted. And peace.
Guys, that was great. I loved that. That's
it worked well.
Yeah,
too.
That's the first time we've ever done that on the show in 5 years. Or we're in our fifth year now. We've never done a double piece like that. And I really think we should do more. But I thought that was the work itself, not just the novelty of the two performances, which were great. I really enjoyed the work itself.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
Yeah, thanks very much. I'm glad it worked out. It's our first time doing it as well, man. It sounded good. I couldn't wait to hear it.
Yeah, we were sitting here listening, and right when the first transition, Rome went over to Sinister. JT looks at me and was like, wow, that was really good. So it played really well. So we'll have a podcast of this, Rome, that'll be up within about 24 hours at the end of the show, and you guys will be able to download it and listen to it and everything.
All right. Great. Awesome.
All right, man. Hey, we appreciate you guys so much, and way to throw down. I'd love to hear more of those kinds of things in the future.
Just getting started, man.
All right. Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. Thank you, guys. Talk to you next time.
All right.
Good night. That was Rome and Sinister calling from Connecticut, which is Rome, and Missouri, which is Sinister, respectively.
Okay, that really threw me off because I'm like, no, Rome is in Italy, but sure, Michael.
There are several Romes, too, you know.
There are several Romes.
Yes, that's true. That's
wherever they may.
Rome. Do you think they make the when in Rome joke in, like, Rome? Where is another Rome? There's, like, a Rome. Is it? What state is that in?
I think it was Texas, but
is it right? Is it Rome, Texas?
I don't know. I don't remember that portion. I've studied it before.
Oh, but Rome, Texas is Rhome.
Oh.
I'm gonna look this up during a thing. Right. But anyway, let's go to we're just off on tangents now. let's go to Diane in Florida. Diane, are you there?
Hello. That is gonna be quite an act to try to follow.
Well,
you know what? I think you're up to it. You're up to it.
Okay. This poem is entitled Spirit. I've tasted oceans of music in your words, songs from far-off lands, pain heralded in reverberations of torture that only the strongest survive. I've heard bells ringing in your sighs, speaking from deep under heavy blankets, smothering the patients that cradled infants and cradling me. I've seen whips crack and earthquakes thundering deep from old chasms and mountains moved by the momentum of the ticking that old clocks make in hallways that smell of the old. Urine smells cramping the noses, the scent of cabbage cooking, moving in heavy air through unfanned hallways of depressive frustration. I've heard your love singing so softly to me that angels stop breathing to listen. So don't tell me you have no impact or no reason to go on. Gods can't crumble and just stop, and you're God. I'm sorry.
What? You know why we pause so long when someone says end poem, we know, but when they don't, there's been so many times over the years we're like, yeah, and the person's like, and right as we start clapping, they keep going. We're like, oh, we're jerks. We're those guys.
I know. I probably didn't read the end of that well.
No, that was great. I really enjoyed it. You know, we can't read a dramatic poem on here, Diane, when you start laughing right after it's over.
Sort of spoils the mood there, I guess.
Oh, no, you know what? Okay. I thought it was great. It was good.
It's Friday night, guys.
It's Friday That's night, right. Damn it. Come on. It was wonderful.
Next time it'll be a dirty limerick.
Story of my life.
I know. Next time. All right, guys. You're always a pleasure. You have
fun. Hey, thank
I'm
you
gonna
so much,
bow
Diane.
Out now.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Right. Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Diane. I wish she'd get a sense of humor, that one.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Such a struggle all the time.
Real quick, yes, to sir. Mary, who's calling back. Mary, we'll save your spot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you are after Barbara.
Yeah, if
not
you're
a problem.
Yeah, I'll let her know here in the chat perfect. Room here. By the way, just as a side note.
Yeah.
Rome has many, or we have many cities named Rome in the United States.
Many a Rome exist.
Many a Rome exist just on this, in this particular country, but there's one on every continent, at least. And in this case, we have, let's see, I'm at 9, 12, 16 Romes in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to, speaking of someone who has amazingly arcane knowledge, let's go to Philip in Kentucky.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, sir. It's good that we have still, this time of the year, too. I mean, I think your number, I don't know if this is true, I'm just guessing. The numbers kind of go down a little bit toward the holidays, toward the end of the year.
Always,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's good that we've had such a good turnout tonight, I think. You know,
yeah.
I'm just, yeah, that always excites me. And, yeah, of course, a lot of things excite me, but this is not an After Dark segment, so we don't
That's
need
right.
to go there.
a slight breeze.
A slight breeze, right? Well, no, actually, I was excited, JT, when you were telling us about this whole, I mean, I'm not like a, you know, a big sports fan, as you probably couldn't have guessed about me, but a field that heats itself and that sounds really pretty cool. And you and your wife are getting to go to this thing? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, we got to. It was on Wednesday, this past Wednesday. Yeah. So it was really cool. I have been on many a football field, and to be on this one is kind of special for me, because it is a place I hope in some future that I will actually do the thing I do here on the show there.
Oh, wow.
You know, I would love to do an audio production on that field.
Oh, wow. No, that would be really exciting. And I think you certainly qualify, young man, because just what little I know of you, I often feel like I'm in that scene where Toto goes behind the curtain and pulls it back. And like, there's JT, the wizard behind it all.
It's totally what it is.
It's kind of weird.
Right.
Never thought about it that way.
Amadei, you're just window dressing, buddy. We all know that.
Man, I'm aware of this.
You're just the sexy man in the window, but we know JT does it all. So.
He does all the work the way that, I think it was Mick Jagger came up with the way he described the front man was, you know, instead of the guitarist, the bass player, the drummer, the singer was the trouser. And I think that's how I feel a lot of time. I'm the trouser, and JT's actually doing all the work.
Right. No, I dig it. And I've never heard that expression before, trousering. Do I understand that correctly?
It's the thing that everybody sees. It's the trousers.
The trousers, yes. When you look good in them, too. Svelte, my friend. Very, very nice.
Not anymore. Oh, my gosh. Like I gained 400 pounds in a week and a half.
And let me just increase the blush, sir. You did wonderfully with both Lennon and Springsteen. And that's got to be really pretty difficult to follow, those two. I mean, they're both very talented in different ways.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know. I was just thinking about a lot of people being, and very rightly so, disillusioned with people who are, you know, when everybody's had the wool pulled over their eyes for, and I mean literally everybody have the wool pulled over their eyes in different ways. Of course, there's going to be disenfranchisement, and everybody's pissed off at each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we need to reorient that it's okay. It's okay to not be a world-conquering famous person. It's okay to do your art and be I love the idea of blue-collar work ethic put into art. For some reason, that is just really awesome to me. And, you know, showing up every day and doing it, and not needing to be the celebrity alongside, you know?
No, oh, yeah. Well, especially with some of the images, as you were saying, you know, you gave some context there. Yeah. If we're being fed these images of, yeah, and really, no, not at all. It's, and I, not that I'm a hard laborer by any stretch of the imagination, but I've had a few jobs that I willingly and happily quit for that very reason, because it's hard work. It's real labor.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the thing I always joke around about businessmen. I go, you know, businessmen go into their office, make some phone calls, and send some emails. They think they're working. They think that's work.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that, you know, well, and I don't want to go off on any kind of, you know, really ugly tangents, but, you know, I don't, for anyone who is willing to work 40 hours in this country, that 40 hours, no matter what the job is, high or low, should give you a living wage.
Damn right.
Where you can live comfortably and have time to yourself, and not join this slavish mentality. But that's a whole other discussion. I'm not good with politics. Can't stand talking about politics.
So what I was hearing, yeah. Philip is Philip from Kentucky 2020, right? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, please, no. You do not want me in charge. I know better. No.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, because across the board, I'd be like, legalize everything today, you know, cut off the CIA funds right there, let people enjoy themselves, let them be responsible, and then you take something like, addiction. You make that the kind of thing you hone in on. Addiction's the trouble, not the drugs, you know. But that's a whole other thing, and that's why I can't, you know, see, I'm already not in family values anymore. I'm just advising, just say maybe, kid. Just say maybe, you know. Who knows how much fun it can be, you know. And that's,
wow.
Get in trouble already, you know.
Okay.
This is why I read at the store.
I totally want to make you a shirt that says, just say maybe.
Just say maybe, you know. Who knows? You might have fun.
Philip for president. That's all I have to say.
Oh, that's hilarious.
All the hedonists come out of the woodwork, you know.
The hedonist party. I think it's a great idea.
And now I'm going to sound surprisingly stuffy. I don't know. That's no kind of introduction to poor old W.H. Auden, who I'm going to try to read after all of that shenanigans. What a segue, right? And I'll probably mess this up, but... anyhow, here we go. I'll do my best. I got to catch my breath, though. I'm still smiling. And I'm going to slaughter this French title, but I'm sure somebody in the room will correct me. Musée des Beaux-Arts, I think. That's close. I may have slaughtered it. Anyhow, that's French, I think, for modern art, I believe. I'm not sure. Something like that. It makes me, I'm like Steve Martin. Fromage. They have a word for everything, you know? So here we go. About suffering, they were never wrong, the old masters. How well they understood its human position, how it takes place while someone else is eating or opening a window or just walking dully along. How, when the aged are reverently, passionately waiting for the miraculous birth, there always must be children who did not especially want it to happen, skating on a pond at the edge of the wood. They never forgot that even the dreadful martyrdom must run its course, anyhow, in a corner, some untidy spot, where the dogs go on with their doggy life and the torturer's horse scratches its innocent behind on a tree. In Bruegel's Icarus, for instance, how everything turns away quite leisurely from the disaster. The plowman may have heard the splash, the forsaken cry, but for him it was not an important failure. The sun shone as it had to on the white legs disappearing into the green water, and the expensive, delicate ship that must have seen something amazing, a boy falling out of the sky, had somewhere to get to and sailed calmly on. And there we go.
Man.
Messing up W.H. Auden. I'm making him roll around in his grave going, how dare you?
How dare... A hand just keeps shooting out of the ground, scaring a couple that had snuck into the graveyard.
Right. You guys got me all cracked up, man. I'm telling you. But that's good. It's good to laugh, and I really appreciate you having me back and sharing and
always
having fellow poets on. It means a lot to me, is all I'm saying.
It means a lot to us to have you on as well. It really is something.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's a big
let's have a group hug.
All
and
right.
Something Greek later, maybe. And no, seriously.
All right. Euros all around. All
right. Yeah, right. Cheers to both of you. Adore you. And until next time.
Right, until next time, Philip. Talk to you later, bud.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye. And that was Philip all the way from Kentucky. You know, the thing that's so dangerous about when he calls in is we just go off. And he actually is kind of, he's restraining it a little bit.
He is.
Because I have a feeling if he was going with it too, we'd just go. And then we'd suddenly be like, oh yeah, there are other people here.
There are.
So I appreciate that. But Philip, awesome. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now let's go to the non-mitten state of the sandwich. It's Jim in Pennsylvania.
Hey!
South of the Vampire
doing?
State.
Hey, we're doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine again.
All right. Again, huh? Nothing's changed since we talked last?
This is good.
Well, and even though I'm south of the Vampire State, I don't go blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah.
Are you sure?
Blah, blah, blah.
You know, if I was going to be a vampire, I would really want to be the Count from Sesame Street. I think that would be my goal.
We can count caribou. Yes, we heard you talk about caribou.
Oh, we totally were.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I it's like all the things come together and I'm like, wow, this is where we got to with the show. It's just, counting caribou. One caribou. You know the best part is? We're broadcasting this to people.
This is awesome.
This is the show, everybody. All right. So, hey, what do you have for us?
Okay, this one, it may be a little disturbing. It's macabre or something. It's called In Flights of Fancy.
Okay.
In Flights of Fancy, I yearn for her touch, her tender kiss, the small dark cloud of a woman with beautiful red flowing hair holds me entranced, captive to the power of her verse, spoken years before in her angelic voice of despair, long since silenced by the grave. End of poem.
Awesome. And a bit dark. That's true.
Yeah. Well, it's when Jay Todd was on, I mentioned I kind of had a crush on Sylvia Plath.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The kind of the voice crush. But yeah, it's and that's what this is about.
Yeah.
So, you know, a little macabre.
Yeah.
Since she was dead 8 years by the time I was born.
Well, you know,
that's okay.
It's okay. You know, a lot of women still have crushes on Lord Byron. You know, and I wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah, well, I don't think they would. I don't think they would go much for him if he actually met them on the street.
Yeah, see, exactly. That's the point. And the thing is, I don't want you to feel bad. You know, I realized later I had a voice crush on the guys from Monty Python when they pretended to be women. So that was you know, this voice.
And now for some people, completely different.
Yeah.
It was completely different, Jim. All right.
Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of everybody's.
Oh.
You English nigger.
You know, you're just saying to me what my uncle said to me every year at Christmas. Makes me nostalgic. Hey, Jim, thanks so much, buddy. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you. All right. That was Jim from Pennsylvania.
Oh.
I kind of want to find a way to get you like some like wheels or something you could just throw to see. Like,
Throw it. They're gone.
Game over. All right, let's go all the way to Barbara in Connecticut.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, guys.
Hey, how are you, Barbara?
Oh.
That was funny.
You know, I never really thought about what it must be like to sit there and listen to us get on these weird tangents and know that you're next.
Just going.
Like,
come on.
Oh, no, what's going to happen now? Okay. Hi, guys.
You know, we have to laugh because it's funny, and people are, you know, blowing us steam or whatever, and it's Friday night, and, you know, what the hell? And Philip is hysterical, and Jim was funny.
Oh, yeah. We have great people on this show. I think that's the thing that always, I think, has us coming back, is we're always so happy to have the personalities we have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and some of his poetry is like, oh my God, can I read mine? Because it's so like, it blew me away tonight, really. Mine is like, oh, compared to this. Yeah. So, anyway, I was actually, this was inspired by Philip, because we were having a comment discussion tonight before the show about something, a link that he had posted. I don't know which one, you don't remember it, but it was about this woman who used statistics to figure out the election, and it was I thought, I didn't go in it, you know, I didn't really appreciate what she said, and Philip was saying, well, it's not what she said, now she said it, and it was all about statistics, and I told him, math and I don't get along, and I told him that what I'm doing right now is actually drowning myself in Christmas movies, because this is all I can do right now. It's really, it's getting to the point where I just can't watch any other TV. Yep. It's just, you know, I watched the live Hairspray.
Uh-huh.
And we watched some series, you know, some fantasy series like Arrow and Flash and stuff like that and other things. But I don't watch news, and I can't even watch the late shows anymore because they have news on them. And yep. I can't watch it. I can't. So anyway,
totally
this is called... This was inspired by that conversation, and I hadn't had a poem in my head, and then all of a sudden this came into it, and I wrote it. It's called Drowning in Christmas Movies. I drown myself in Christmas movies to blot out the noise of the inevitable talking heads blabbing on and on about what is somehow a foregone conclusion, though not the majority's rule. And I feel that somehow we have been sucked into the vortex of another world, and we are in a dream state, much like Alice, who wandered into a world that was seriously unbalanced and had to fit into this mixed-up society. This version is wilder and actually crazier than the one she met, for this one is real, and our world is playing for keeps. But the one who is leading is very much like the Red Queen, and shouts off with his head to the masses, eagerly awaiting his vomited tweets that concentrate on nothing, while behind the scenes his band of cohorts systematically scheme to unravel all that makes us great. So I cover myself with blankets and watch as fictional characters attempt to control their lives as they ignore the one true love that is practically staring them in the face. And there is Christmas music and decorations, and the world is all hot chocolates and peppermint sticks, where I can believe that this is all that is happening. And though it is lazy and certainly damaging to ignore what is occurring around me, somehow believing in magic and the possibility of love conquering all seems right at this time of year. For in my heart that has been so damaged, I believe that maybe if we all believe in a better outcome, it will all come true. Then the world will be like the timeless snow globe, awash in the joys of renewal and faith, and we will have overcome the blue meanies from Yellow Submarine who have taken over our country and plan to leech the color from every part of our life for their own gains. But in Christmas movies, it's all good. So I settle down and pull the covers over my eyes. Morning will come, and it will all be over. End poem.
You know, Barbara, I gotta say, I agree with you. I can't stand Al Roker either.
I can't watch the Today Show. I can't watch anything that anyone does. I can't.
Yeah,
you're so blasé about everything.
I see him, and I'm like, how do you still have a job?
I'm screaming inside.
Yeah.
Of what I see.
The deep existential, you know? Scream every time we see Al Roker screw the weather up again.
About everything that's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the things that I've heard about and know about and see and feel, and people on Facebook who talk about things and everything else, and plus friends who tell me stuff, and just I can't take it anymore. So that's why I'm just,
well, you know,
totally understand.
I totally get it. You know, another thing, Barbara. And another thing. Yeah, it's,
another,
you know,
thing.
this is part of my, like, get off my lawn moment. So there's this thing that happens. I don't know if you've run into this in Colorado. I'm not even talking about the actual issue itself. There's these people who, that I know, every time it's snowing, come up and say, well, what do you think about this global warming stuff?
No.
How's this treating you? Right, which is, to me, is like saying world hunger's over because I just had lunch. But and I stole that from someone else, by the way. But the the point being is that it didn't snow until just a few days ago.
Yeah.
Here in Colorado, right?
Yep.
And no one was saying anything about it being 60 degrees, almost 70 degrees
right.
in December.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it snows one day. Uh-huh. And someone's like, how's this global warming? And I turned around and was like, oh, be quiet.
Uh-huh.
Be quiet. Stop. Where were you when it was warm in December, you jackass? And then, of course,
know.
You know, he went running to his kindergarten
it's
teacher.
It's crazy. There's so much going on.
Yes, there is.
Not
there's
being
so,
talked about.
There's so much. Oh, it's
and,
just
it's. I found out something else that I can't talk about, but it just made me sick. And so it's everything that I hear makes me sick about either about corruption or about that person I can't name or about anything else, you know, the recount, whatever it is. What it's just like everything is happening and it's happening around me. And yet, you know, I live in a blue state, so it's pretty calm here, you know.
Right.
We'll take a breath.
Going about their business, it's all very Christmassy and everyone's, you know, ho-ho-hoing and everything. And I tried to get into the season by having a gingerbread latte. And, you know, it's just, it was good for a while. But then, you know, you have to drown yourself in Christmas movies. And there are two channels that we have, plus we have them on the DVR.
Yep.
So I'm practically doing it all day now and going to sleep.
Well, that's good.
Kind of amazing.
It's okay.
But, you know, it's Christmas movies.
You know, I think especially when you're recovering, those kinds of things are, when you're recovering from surgery and you're needing slow, you know, that recovery time, it's easy to get stir crazy. And sometimes the being able to inundate yourselves in things that feel good and happy and, you know, positive are just so worth it. And I can absolutely identify.
Yeah, because I'm not doing my usual, like, writing or edit. I'm just not doing that. I can't sit that long at the computer. And it's just, you know, it's like I want to do it, but I just can't. That's why I sat down to write and I couldn't. And then all of a sudden this came up and I said, oh, wow, I can write.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to get off because you have one more person, right?
That's right.
Yes.
Last but not least. That's right, Mary.
Mary, I have to give Mary her time.
Yeah.
That's right.
She's such a cheerleader for us. I love Mary.
I know. Isn't she awesome?
Call Mary. I'll be your cheerleader. Mary, she's our girl.
I thought you were going to go for a rhyme there, seeing that this is, you know, in fact, a poetry show. But, hey, that was cool, too.
It's good.
I almost got to it.
All right.
All right, hey, Barbara.
Thanks so much.
Why not give her a twirl?
There you go.
All right. Thank you, Barbara. Good night.
Good night, Michael. And we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. Man, we've... You know, I don't know. Connecticut's starting to make a move there.
It is.
You noticing that?
It's starting to get a few more.
Yeah.
Mary, if you hear us, call now.
All right. Oh, did Mary drop off?
She did. Okay. But
let me get her here.
Hopefully, she'll be. We're gonna take her live.
Okay. I'm sending a message.
Right there. See? She's
I'm gonna have to send it. Perfect.
Mary.
Oh. Oh, don't even go there. You
don't even go where.
Come on, though. Okay. Don't even go there. Don't even go where? Come on.
I'm confused now. I feel like I'm living in a recursion. Is this call going to start again? Are we going to do this whole day over? It's all
an echo. The world is an echo, baby.
You know what? I kind of agree with you. I honestly have to say, I think the world is an echo.
It all replays and replays in different verbs and different sounds and different acronyms and different disgustingnesses, and it's the same sounds. So turn it off and listen to some poetry and some music, and here I go with Emily Dickinson. She lived 1830 to 1886.
Yeah.
I taste a liquor never brewed. From tankard scoops and pearl.
Not all the Frankfurt berries yield such an alcohol. Inebriate of air am I, and debauchee of dew, reeling through endless summer days from inns of molten blue, when landlords turn the drunken bee out of the foxglove's door, when butterflies renounce their drams, I shall but drink the more, till seraphs swing their snowy hats and saints to windows run, see the little tippler leaning against the sun and point. How does it get prettier than that?
Oh, you know, it's hard to. And Mary, I was surprised to hear you reading. I was expecting to hear the piano and everything. It was really cool. Thanks for doing that.
Oh, come on now. I love you guys. You know, it's not all about music. If you put any of your poetry to music, I'm not going to say what I just about do, but it'd be even more than it is. Music accentuates the beauty of the words to me. But, you know, I'm just a musician, and you make the words. So,
Well, Mary, I write more songs than I write poems, that's for sure. And I know how that is, yeah.
Oh, it's all good. You know, it's all good. My daughter's an artist, and she draws things, and I look at them, and I just laugh. Because, Jesus Christ, and all those saviors that save us, they make us beautiful, and they give us the warmth that we need to see our life through.
Yep. Yeah.
Boy. All right.
All right.
I'm done with you guys. No. I'm all done, and it was such a great show, and bye-bye.
Good night, Mary.
Okay, good night, Mary.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. All right, and that was Mary calling all the way from Arizona. All the way. In a
all
place
the way.
We could drive to in about 7 hours.
So far.
So far. Boy. Well, hey, it's been a great show, guys.
It has.
We have just one more for the month, which that's kind of weird to think about, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, shortened.
What are we going to do? We've only done that one time, taking 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
We only did that the time that the year that J. Todd and then your daughter were graduating on two consecutive Fridays.
Yes.
And, I mean, that made yeah. sense, but we haven't done it since then. And how many yeah. years ago was that? Was that three years?
Wow. Yeah, about three now?
Holy cow.
Two, three. My goodness.
Yeah. So we haven't done it in a while.
It's flying by.
Yeah. So so we are going to be doing a show next week, but then the Friday before
the
Christmas.
The 23rd yeah. and the 30th
we won't
of
be
December,
doing,
we
yeah.
will not be doing a show.
But, you know, stay tuned to our social media. We'll probably be doing some live videos, and we'll still
yeah.
be doing stuff, and we'll still
yeah.
be around. So if you have any questions or any thoughts, you know, send us a message, and we're definitely in touch. But at any rate, we will see you next week. Now, remember, the poetry form that we had was called the Carpe Diem form, which is essentially, it's not a strict form. It's yeah. about poetry about living in the moment or living for today. So if you are working on something like that, bring it next week. All right, so from myself, from JT, from Christine, from Ursa, from everybody here at World Poetry Open Mic, this has been a great evening. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.